tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. Great to have Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal with us on here every Monday. Evelyn, I know we just caught up during the break, and then I didn't have a pen in front of me. I was going to write down, what was that term that you used for the good news, business news update of the week here? Apparently there's like five Montana companies that this good news applies to.
Well, yes. Each year, Inc. magazine recognizes the 5,000 fastest-growing companies in the United States. Together, the companies this year generated $300 billion in revenue in 2024, and five companies in Montana made that list. The companies, Montana companies, include STEM Region in Whitefish, RMG Erectors and Constructors in Missoula, Discovery Kids Zone in Bozeman, Submittable in Missoula, and Advice Pay in Bozeman. So each one of those companies, they've made national news because of the rate of growth. And STEM Region develops health food supplements. RMG Erectors and Constructors in Missoula, they make pre-engineered metal buildings. And Discovery Kids Zone in Bozeman, they use a Montessori-based educational base to learn about for training and education, but it's incorporating the out-of-doors somehow. And Submittable is an online platform that allows organizations to manage the submissions of applications and grants much more efficiently. And Advice Pay makes it easy to get paid for financial advice. So that means you and I, if we have opinions about what is great way to make money, we might be able to make money by offering other people that advice through this company. So those are our stars in Montana.
Very interesting, very interesting. And then I see some other, that must be so fresh off the presses here that I don't even think it made the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet yet this morning, but that's just another example of the print edition and how much additional incredible content that you have in there. Here's a quick look at some of those headlines on the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet right now. Retail sales increase. And when it comes to consumer sentiment, what's consumer sentiment looking like? We'll chat with Evelyn Pyburn about that and more. And the annual meeting for the Montana Petroleum Association taking place here coming up in just about, another week or two. That's always a big one that takes place in Huntley and then in part in downtown Billings as well. So I wonder what big topics Evelyn's hearing about on that front. Obviously, everybody's wondering about, hey, is another big pipeline potentially in the works for Montana? Anyway, stand by. We'll get back to business here right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the Bozeman area. High temperature readings will stay around 88 in Bozeman to about 94 in Billings. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will drop back off to about 58 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. Sunshine Tuesday, highs in the mid-90s in Bozeman, around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. August is National Immunization Awareness Month. The American Association for Immunologists says it's an annual observance, highlighting the importance of getting recommended vaccines through your life. They know your life is busy, but they want to encourage you to talk to your doctor, nurse, or healthcare provider to ensure you're protected against serious disease. The association also suggests, as kids are getting back to school, make sure they get caught up on missed well-child visits and recommended vaccines. But how does a vaccine work? The AAI explains that they trigger an immune response that trains your body to recognize disease-causing germs and fight them off if they ever invade your body. You can get a lot more information on the association's suggestions for vaccines on its website, including where to get low or no-cost immunizations. Go to AAI.org, or for more health news, go to FoxNewsHealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Monica DeLuca, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, where do you want to start next? I could start throwing random topics at you, but what's the big business news you want to share next for us?
What we have in the hot sheet this morning is about the fact that retail sales were up over the past month by 0.5%. And in June, spending was stronger than expected, according to the Commerce Department. June's retail sales were revised upward 0.9% from the original 0.6%. And the increases followed two consecutive months of spending declines in April and May. Excluding auto sales, retail sales rose by 0.3% in July. So auto sales rose 1.6%. Normalized spending after a surge in March and April. The sales were mostly in clothing stores and online retailers, and businesses at home furnishings and furniture stores also had strong sales gains. Electronic stores sales were down, and business at restaurants, which is considered a barometer of discretionary spending, fell as shoppers ate at home to save money. And I think we can all identify with that somewhat. Food costs, and no matter whether it's in restaurants or grocery stores, just is kind of mind-boggling at times. And so with sales having been increased, a more negative perspective is the fact that consumer sentiment for August, according to the University of Michigan, fell for the first time in 4 months as Americans worry about inflation. The overall index declined by 5% to 58.6 from 61.7, but the measure of current conditions dropped by 10.4%. And I'm not too sure what they mean by worry about inflation. I think it might be because of increased costs, but if they're going down,
I guess my read on that. Yeah, I'm interested in your read on that. So, because you see, people are shopping more, they're spending more, based off of your first report there. But the first report about retail sales increasing, but consumer sentiment. I think what happens is that President Trump stabilized the massive inflation increases that continued to pile on during the 4 years of the Biden regime. So he stabilized that, but stabilizing high prices is one thing versus, you know, people want to see prices actually go down even further. And that's a much greater challenge because so much of it has already been baked into the cake by Chef Biden. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah.
But that's where I think the Federal Reserve, I think that's why President Trump is pressing on the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. And we may just be stuck waiting until we get the next Fed chair next, spring or whatever. That's why he's pressing on him to lower the interest rates, because he stabilized inflation, because he stabilized all this massive federal government spending that was taking place. But now we need those interest rates to come down. I think that's what's really, you know, harming small businesses and you know, not to mention everyday, you know, families that want to get into a home, et cetera.
Right. And there's got to be, I mean, there's a lot of talk about the rates going to being lowered in a month or so. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, big expenditures people will put off waiting for that drop to happen, and which would reduce interest rates as well as probably some prices on things. So consumers might be just postponing anticipated expenditures.
Yeah. On a local front here, in a local business front here in Montana, Senator Steve Daines last week did a tour of the, you know, Signal Peak Energy, the Bull Mountains coal mine south of Roundup. And you know, Senator Daines, of course, had the provision to keep that mine up and running. But, yeah, KTVQ had this headline: Daines praises Trump coal policy in visit to Signal Peak Mine in Musselshell County. I mean, they basically went from fearing that they were going to have to shut down the mine and all those jobs altogether to now they've got literally a new lease on life with access to being able to get that federal coal and then the, you know, potentially also getting the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line for another backup plant.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, the pipeline, rumors or speculation about there being another pipeline, which could benefit Montana greatly too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it sounds like that one, you know, we're not hearing too much information on that one, and it may be for good reason, right? But yeah, because I know everybody's all excited. They hear whispers that there might be another Keystone XL pipeline style pipeline in the works, but at the end of the day, I think people are like, okay, hey, we don't need to know all the nitty-gritty details on what may or may not happen. Let's just hope that something is in the works and something will happen, because that would be, of course, great news for the state of Montana. You talk about the revenue, the jobs that would come in as well. All right, well, another quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll get to your farm and ranch report from our friend Lane Nordland, and then right back to business with Evelyn Pyburn right after this. And then I think I got my other computer up and running, so we should be able to start taking your phone calls here a little later as well.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a huge media buildup and then wall-to-wall coverage of the Alaska summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And most of it has been negative. There were no questions taken. There were no details provided. Both leaders said it was a good meeting, but it was all so vague. What did they agree on? What did they not agree on? No details. A lot of vague assurances. There might be another meeting with Putin, or there might not be. At the same time, President Trump later talked to Zelensky, who will be at the White House today, and he wants a permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire, to, as he put it, give the Russians some breathing room between invasions. So it was a roll of the dice for the president, and the media verdict is it didn't get much. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
The one big beautiful bill and what it delivers, not just for America, but for the West in particular, from timber to American energy to agriculture and more. Senator Cynthia Lummis out of Wyoming had a great column, a great write-up at thedailysignal.com. One big beautiful win for the West. We're going to drill down on all of those issues in the week ahead, and we'll take your phone calls and more with Montana Talks, taking you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
Put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please don't always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please don't always remember this beep.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Friday, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced the largest initiative yet in USDA's plan to combat the New World screwworm. The announcement builds upon USDA's five-pronged plan issued in June.
First, today we are announcing USDA will invest and build a domestic sterile fly production facility in Edinburg, Texas, which is situated about 20 miles from the southern border and complements the dispersal facility we have already begun production on. With a capacity to produce 300 million sterile screwworm flies per week, and that's how we eradicate the parasite, this facility will triple our current output and eliminate our sole reliance on Panama and Mexico for sterile fly supply, putting America first. Because of the migration of infected wildlife over the U.S. border, back in the 1950s and 60s, we didn't have this population of wildlife in South Texas the way we do now. But we are ramping up the hiring of USDA-employed mounted patrol officers known as the tick riders or the tick crew. I actually went and rode the border with them about a month or two ago, which will be the cornerstone of our surveillance program. The tick riders are mounted on horseback and will provide the first line of defense against a New World screwworm outbreak along the U.S.-Mexico border.
That was Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Flint.
All right, speaking of agriculture, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal has some very interesting statistics and information on that front. Evelyn, yeah, you were telling me you've been looking at some information talking about basically the average age of farmers in the United States and kind of this generational decline when it comes to agriculture in particular. Yeah, what stood out to you?
Well, the average age of farmers in the United States is 58, so many of them are looking at retirement, and industry leaders are concerned about what will happen when they retire because there's not a lot of young people lined up to take their place. And it, while it's a concern, the industry is saying, well, it's too early to declare it a crisis, but they are worried. Historically, farming has largely passed from generation to generation in the United States, but not every family has that next generation in line, according to Rutgers University, who's been studying this. More than 95% of farmers in the United States are family-owned, which is a very good thing because corporate farming in general hasn't been all that successful, but family-owned farms have been very successful. But yet the number of farms has steadily declined, and there's been greater consolidation among them. And in 2022, there was almost 2 million farms and ranches, and that was down 6.9% from 2017. And enrollment in agriculture-based college programs dropped by 37% from 1980 to 1990. And the number of students studying agriculture remains relatively small. Not opting to continue the business is being decided upon by younger people for a lot of reasons. Of course, older people are concerned about health care, but there's financial burdens and huge uncertainties in agriculture and planning for the future. And there are people who want to own their own farms, but they don't have the family ties to the industry, so they face really huge challenges in trying to get into it in terms of costs of land and machinery and also in the loss of institutional knowledge that in the past has always been shared from one generation to another. And without that generational connection, that's being lost and will continue to be lost as less than 1% of the U.S. population is involved in agriculture. So these are all concerns that the experts are like at, they have an economics agriculture expert at Cornell University who said it's not clear that it's really a food security issue, and they're kind of watching it to determine what it will mean in the future. And there's been discussion about doing some things that help younger people to enter into agriculture and get onto farms, which, like I noted, you know, there are a lot of things standing in their way, and increasingly, not besides just general costs, but there's increasingly more regulations that make it more and more difficult to do the business of farming.
Yeah.
So
it seems so much like it seems so much like some of the other industries where you've got, you know, baby boomers, an aging baby boomer population that eventually is going to turn over these farms, well, hopefully turn them over to the next generation, eventually turn over these small businesses, hopefully to the next generation as well. I mean, it's kind of like the conversation that we've been having about trades jobs and trades education. You know, Mike Rowe's been making the point that, hey, we need something like 500,000, what was it, electricians or plumbers? Anyway, hundreds of thousands of these trades jobs are needed right now. And you know, when you think about for every 10 plumbers out there, there's only one to replace them in the next several years. And so similar thing probably on all fronts, farming, you name it.
Yeah, and again, even in those industries, you know, there's institutional knowledge that you just don't learn in school. You've got to be part of it and doing it, and all of that is being lost, too.
That's so right.
I think it's interesting to point out that in the past, I don't remember exactly where, it was a while ago when we were discussing entrepreneurship in the state of Montana, which has been hugely high for as long as I can remember. You know, we're number one or two in entrepreneurship development. And one of the reasons I think that...
tell you what, hold that thought, Evelyn, for just a second. Hold that thought. We'll come back to entrepreneurship. We got the Fox News update. We'll come back to you here and see. Evelyn Pyburn here talking about, you know, the turnover and the aging population, not just for farmers and ranchers, but also the aging population just for almost any job category, any business ownership category you can think of. Evelyn, it's been so fun when I've traveled, you know, to eastern Montana to visit, you know, my cousins out there. And, you know, my one cousin, he works for Stockman Bank out of Terry and Glendive. And then he's also, you know, building his own herd. He grew up on a ranch in Fallon. His brothers are both ranching as well. And so he's told me, look, he's seeing a lot more young people. You know, there is this generational turnover where, you know, the next generation has taken over a lot of ranches in that area. That's good to see. But because that's the concern, is that if the next generation doesn't take over, that these operations just go under. What was the point you were going to make about entrepreneurship and how Montana always is very big when it comes to the number of entrepreneurs?
Yes, well, the idea was that Montana has that high rate of entrepreneurship because so many people come from farm life and they learn and get used to the very idea of the entrepreneurship that goes, that is, has to be part of farming. And so it's kind of in their genes, and they are used to the idea of not being very confident about what the future holds, and which is, you know, what you have to deal with if you're going to start your own business and pull yourself up by the bootstraps, so to speak. You have to have a certain mentality and determination that farming instills in you, whether you want it or not, because if you've been around farmers and farm life, you just know that you know, a hailstorm can turn your turn your life around in a moment, and And so I think we see a lot of really good, not just entrepreneurs, but there was a businessman once who told me that, you know, he always wanted to hire a farm boy, you know, if he had an applicant for a job and he came from a farm, he rose to the top because he was a farm boy. And
the military will tell you the same thing. Yeah, the military will tell you the same thing. You know, those farm kids, they just kind of know how to do it all because you just have to be able to do it all out there. And you typically start working at a younger age as well because you're tagging along in the pickup and you're out there doing work. And so, you know, similar concept for people who grew up with, you know, a family-owned restaurant or another family-owned business. You know, my grandparents ran the newspaper, so I could stuff newspapers, run around the printing presses. And so it just gets you used to, you know, It gets you used to working and being productive at a younger age. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for sticking around with us there for a few extra minutes. Coming up right after this, I was able to catch up with the former chief of staff at the EPA under President Trump's first term to talk about everything he's doing now. Stand by.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. If you guys heard me at the end of the 6 o'clock hour of the show, Team Montana, Tommy Milan and Junior Bergen crossed paths in the NFL over the weekend. They went head-to-head, the Las Vegas Raiders against the San Francisco 49ers. And they not only ran into each other after the game for a great photo op with the Montana kids that were there on the field, some of the NFL greats, and then the two newcomers that everybody across Montana is cheering on now in the NFL, Tommy Milan and Junior Bergen, but they also literally ran into each other on the field as well. Some good plays by both Tommy Milan and Junior Bergen. We've got full video, the photo, and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. All right, I was able to catch up recently here. You know, I mentioned the good news for the Signal Peak coal mine, the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup, but really that's just one piece of good news in a series of good news when it comes to American energy, not just oil, gas, but also coal as well, and several good bits of news here in Montana. Recently, I was able to catch up with Mandy Gunasekera. Mandy Gunasekera was the chief of staff at the EPA under President Trump's first term. And so we got to catch up with her recently here to talk about the One Big Beautiful Bill and so much more that is now being done to unleash American energy. The EPA news and just all of the news when it comes to unleashing American energy has been great news across the board here in Montana. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think, look, just a few weeks ago, Administrator Zeldin made one of the biggest deregulatory announcements when he decided to take on something that has been a major industrial disaster in this country, but prior folks just didn't have the wherewithal to actually do it. Administrator Zeldin does, and that is proposing to get rid of the endangerment finding, or AKA dismantling the Green New scam that has permeated so many agencies and undermined them fulfilling their missions and also undermined economic growth. So I think that's a great place to start talking about how EPA really is the tip of the spear in getting President Trump's goal of reindustrialization of the United States and deregulation off to a really great start.
Yeah, we've seen the impacts here firsthand in Montana. Colstrip, the beautiful town of Colstrip, and a beautiful clean coal, beautiful clean coal mining jobs, beautiful clean power plant coal jobs in Colstrip as well. And they were under attack by years of Democrat politicians, and not just Barack Obama and Joe Biden, but even Democrats here in Montana and their radical environmentalist backers. What is this, you know, this news out of Lee Zeldin and the EPA, what does that mean for just the everyday worker in a place like Colstrip?
Well, at the end of the day, what it's going to do, it's going to put downward pressure on overall cost. It's also going to further enhance President Trump's goal of energy dominance. And one of the best things we've seen from President Trump, coal has been denigrated for far too long. Even among some Republican circles that I've been a part of these conversations, folks want to throw coal under the bus, and that should never have been the case, and that should have never been a part of the energy landscape or conversations in this country, because I've been to some of these coal mines. They are clean, they are efficient, and they provide a stable source of affordable energy. So at the end of the day, for a place like Montana, it's definitely going to be a boom for local economic development. But for the everyday consumer, it's going to make prices go down, as President Trump said. He wanted to make life more affordable again. So he's creating jobs, putting money back in the pockets of American citizens first, and that's just going to create all sorts of derivative benefits for communities that get to come back to life, really, and for the people in Montana that provide a lot of those energy resources. You know, you're going to be a part of this great reindustrialization that is really built on the resurgence of clean, beautiful American coal.
Yeah, and speaking of clean, beautiful coal, we saw the One Big Beautiful Bill get across the finish line on top of executive actions out of President Trump, executive actions out of the EPA. We're also seeing some Supreme Court decisions here recently as well. But on top of that, we're also seeing, you know, what our congressional delegation here in Montana fought for, which is access to federal coal deposits for like the Signal Peak mine south of the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup. That is great news. Last year they were afraid that they were going to have to shut down by the end of the year or sometime this year if things like this didn't happen. So there's real on the ground impacts from the Big Beautiful Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing about that, honestly, these are lessons learned from the first administration, and I think it's across the board from President Trump on down, and really working with Congress to codify the good policies so that the next administration that comes in that isn't going to be as friendly to traditional American energy resources like President Trump, they can't just flip the switch and try to turn it off. They'll have to go to Congress, and they'll have to negotiate and fight for a bill and pass it in the halls of Congress like President Trump did. And the good news about that means longevity for policies, and in the business community, that means that you can make those investments to build out that development and those mines, and then the jobs that go along with it and community planning. It really is a positive effect that starts at the top and goes all the way down to those smaller communities that really rely on that type of certainty coming from the top in order to grow and prosper in a very local level. So it also shows how the heavy hand of regulation, we heard this for years from the Obama administration and the Biden administration, you know, that they weren't interfering with market dynamics, but they were. They were in such a detrimental way, especially in a place like Montana that is so tied to the local resources that are there, that if you're not able to develop because the federal government makes it too expensive or increases liability to where third parties can come in and stop that, make it so complicated, it's just never going to get off the ground. It has a real felt negative impact. And anyway, what a wonderful change it is for these types of places. And if you can change it at the base level, you know, energy development is the bedrock of which our entire modern economy is built. If you can change it at that level, it just creates all sorts of positive benefits across the entire U.S. economy.
All right, let's pause it right there. I think we've got a caller on the phone lines. More of that conversation with Mandy Gunasekera, the former Trump EPA chief of staff. We ended up talking about a new data center in Yellowstone County that Evelyn Pyburn had mentioned on last week's Big Sky Business Journal update as well, getting her take about AI and energy data centers and much more. All right, Caden, are you going to send me that call, or you got to send that one to me, remember, so I can take that call? All right, here we go. Let's see. I think we've got, it looks like Chris in Billings on the phone lines with us now. Chris, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm much better once our phone lines are running. My computer was having, you know, when you get a new computer and you go, oh, well, you got to do this, and then you got to log in that, and then by Monday it all changes. It was one of those by Monday everything changes things again. So we're good to go now.
Hopefully you have in-house IT.
We do.
Are we on right now?
We are. Yeah. So what's going on? I in the 6 o'clock
I'm really
hour.
Disturbed.
What are you disturbed about?
I'm really disturbed. If you listen to the interviews with Rubio when he gets on, the first thing he says, these people throw the talking points at him, and he goes, what are you talking about? They're trying to set the stage where Trump is going to do the peace talks and talk about the Zelensky needs to talk about the land, not Trump. And they're trying to set up Trump. If things fall apart, he's going to get the blame for everything. And all he's doing is facilitating the talks.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, so if you go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say on that front, yeah. So in the 6 o'clock hour, we played a lot of the sound bites from the Sunday morning talk shows, including Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. But I can play more. What was the part that stood out the most to you between what Rubio had to say? Well, hold that thought for a second, because to your point in particular, did you hear what Hillary Clinton said? Hillary Clinton.
Give the Peace Prize?
Yeah, she says, well, I will nominate Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize if he does this. Basically, what she's saying is that unless he does everything that could never be done, you know, that's the only reason she would nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize. But to truly bring about peace, it's never going to be perfect for anybody, for all sides. So she's trying to set conditions that could never be met. And it's so phony. It is so cynical, and she should be called out by everybody for it. And it just shows why she was such a failure as Secretary of State.
Yeah. So the first thing out of Rubio's, the talk show host throw out their talking point. He goes, where did you hear that? Who said that? And then further down the line, like I said, he's just being set up. I don't think Zelensky's going to give up land. I think that's what's going to happen.
We'll see. I mean, the carnage in that Russia-Ukraine war is just unimaginable, right? Hold that thought, Chris, if you can. Stand by. I'll come back to you after the break because, I want to play a little bit more of that back and forth because, I think it was Margaret Brennan was just one of the worst with the fake phony talking points. But Marco Rubio shut her down. Stand by.
Fox News commentary.
There's been a lot of discussion on how to tackle the crime crisis this week. I'm Tommy Lahren, and I'll give you my thoughts next.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer?
Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
Democrats seem to think yoga and arts and crafts will fix the culture of lawlessness, but that's not cutting it. They and their activist DAs believe we can't arrest our way out of a crime crisis, but locking bad people up, sending in more law enforcement, and prosecuting crimes to the fullest extent actually is what solves crime. If these bleeding heart liberals want to talk about other factors, well, let's go down that path. Fatherless homes are the biggest contributing social factor to our crime crisis, but they are quite clearly not interested in solving that either. So I guess arresting our way out of the problem it is. Why do Democrats always have the most compassion for the perpetrator instead of the victim? I'm sure you all have noticed that, right? They coddle the felons, the illegal immigrants, the degenerates, the thugs, and they leave the rest of us good and decent people to fend for ourselves. They also conveniently don't want us to arm ourselves. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
The one big beautiful bill and what it delivers, not just for America, but for the West in particular, from timber to American energy to agriculture and more. Senator Cynthia Lummis out of Wyoming had a great column, a great write-up at thedailysignal.com. One big beautiful win for the West. We're going to drill down on all of those issues in the week ahead, and we'll take your phone calls and more with Montana Talks, taking you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm late in the Bozeman area. High temperature readings will stay around 88 in Bozeman to about 94 in Billings. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will drop back off to about 58 in Bozeman to 63 in Billings. Sunshine Tuesday, highs in the mid-90s in Bozeman, around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth.
And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's Love Your Mind Today.
We're to podcasting. Let'sStayHealthyMT.com. Let'sStayHealthyMT.com. Health and wellness is just a click away now.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Stand by for just a second here. I want to play a soundbite here. You should be able to hear it while you're on the phone lines as well here as I'm, continuing to test our new equipment that we've got here. Basically, yeah, this is Marco Rubio. I think he was on with Margaret Brennan on CBS. And listen to the emotion in her voice. This is not some news anchor trying to fairly report the news and just ask some good, tough questions. You can tell. You can just tell the bias in her voice. Listen to this one.
All right, President Trump will be hosting President Vladimir Zelensky along with seven other European leaders today, pushing for a peace deal. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio hit the Sunday shows to push back on what some think about today's meeting. Listen to this.
You know there is concern from the Europeans that President Zelensky is going to be bullied into signing something away. That's why you have these European leaders coming as backup tomorrow.
This is such a stupid media narrative that they're coming here tomorrow because Trump is going to bully Zelensky into a bad deal. We've been working with these people for weeks on this stuff. They're coming here tomorrow because they chose to come here tomorrow. We invited them to come. The president invited them to come.
Here to break it
all. All right, all right. And actually, I played the wrong clip. That was the part of the soundbite that I wanted to share with you. But yeah, Chris and Billings, you probably heard the longer version of that where she continues with her fake news narrative.
Yes. The thing you don't hear about, too, is Zelensky is what you don't hear is the status of the politics in I don't think that his people know that he's going to give up land, and he doesn't want to. He thinks he may lose power because of that.
Well, look, I think Ukraine never should have lost land in the first place if it wasn't for the weakness of Joe Biden and the weakness of Obama before him. They wouldn't have lost land in the first place. And remember, they weren't losing any land when Donald J. Trump was the president the first go around. But yeah, you're spot on in pointing out the fact that now they're, the fake news media and Hillary Clinton are trying to set unattainable conditions for peace so that they can still try to undermine the peacemaker in chief, which is Donald J. Trump. All right, Chris, great phone call. Thank you so much for the call. Caden, go ahead. You can send us our next caller there. I think we've got another caller on the phone lines right now. Yeah, there we go. I think we've got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, are you there? Okay, maybe that's a different caller there. I thought we had Nancy and Roundup. Let me see here. Okay. You know what? Gall darn it. Nancy, that was my fault. I hit the mute button. Oh, dang it. See, that's what we get. We're playing around with new equipment here. So, Nancy, call back if you can. I apologize. I took your call, but then I had the little button muted from when I was transitioning it from the last caller to you. So that was my mistake there. I know we are getting short on time this hour of the show, but Nancy, I promise you, we've got open phones coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour. So, apologize for the frustration there. Oh, shoot. Okay. Let's see. One more thing to share with you here before we run out of time this hour of the show. We do just have one guest kicking off the 8 o'clock hour. AI, artificial intelligence. I kind of threw out a question last week. How many of you use AI? How many of you use AI for your, for cooking? Or how many of you use it for work, whether you realize it or not? We've got a guest. Apparently, some people are using AI for therapy. They're using AI for mental health treatment. And they're having daily conversations with artificial intelligence like ChatGPT. Anyway, we got a guest that's going to join us around 8:10 this morning talking about that very topic. The rest of the time, though, I think we've got the phone lines open for you for the rest of the 8 o'clock hour. So I'll tell you what, actually, Nancy, if Nancy is on the line right now, or if you call back, Nancy, you can actually be the show opener for the 8 o'clock hour. Your phone call can kick off the 8 o'clock hour of the show here in just a few minutes. All right. Back in our friends from the Flathead and Great Falls. Join us at...
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamilyfire, Brady, and the Ad Council.